Well, it's a blessing to be here, be a part of the meeting. Thank God for it. You can be turning in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And while you're turning, I would just maybe echo what Brother Ronnie said, that it's always a blessing whenever you can come in either behind a pastor or, leave and the man come after you and just have a good relationship. That's the way it ought to be, but it's not the way it usually is. that's just how it is. And I thank the Lord that whenever the Lord put me here for the time that I was here, that coming after Brother Ronnie Sutton, I tell you what a man of God Brother Ronnie Sutton was. And, of course, he's in heaven now where the real meeting's going on. Praise God. Like a lot of the preachers that have come to this meeting down through the years. We was talking about them at the dinner table earlier, about just adding up all the men that have been at this meeting down through the years. And, I mean, you can just rattle them off one after the other. And they're all in heaven now waiting for us and where the real meeting's going on. But I tell you, it was an honor. I always counted it such an honor and still do to pastor after a man like Brother Ronnie Sutton. And I count it an honor to have Brother Ronnie Owen as my friend. And I was thinking about this today. I'm still amazed. I hadn't got over this yet. I'm still amazed at the things God has let me do in my Christian life. And it just goes to show that God will use absolutely anybody. And if you'll just sell out and serve God, there's no telling what God would do in your life. And because I can remember coming into this meeting as a young boy, as a teenager, and then, you know, shortly after I got saved and as a young preacher, and I was scared of all the preachers that were here. And I still am, some of them, especially Brother Jamie. And he's been mean as a junkyard dog since the day I met him. And so I tell you, these young guys, these young preachers coming up, they don't know how good they got it with everybody encouraging them all the time. We didn't get that coming up. You know, they figured if they could get us out, they would. You know, we weren't called anyways. But no, I mean, really though, I mean, I was, you know, the preachers, they just had an aura about them, you know, and then for the Lord to let me pastor the church and then preach in the meeting, it's just amazing what God will do in your life. And I know that's not me, and nothing we ever do in the ministry or nothing we ever do for the Lord is us anyways, is it? It's always the Lord. Is it that right? And it just, I'm not saying that bragging on me by any means. I'm just saying it's just amazing what God will do. And if you'll sell out and serve God, you'll be amazed. You'll look back one day and you'll just be amazed at what God's done in your life and how He's used you. And it's just a blessing. I want to give you just a little thought and get out of the way. Let Brother Seton come. And I want to say I appreciate Brother Seton too. But I was just telling him earlier, we've been in a few meetings here lately together, got to preach together. And even that, I was thinking about that, getting to preach with Brother Jimbo Seton and things. It's just, brother, it's just an honor. It just blows my mind what God lets me do. And I'm going to let him come. But I want to just give you a little thought here out of 2 Timothy. And we're looking, I think I said chapter 4. We're actually going to read some verses in chapter 3. And so if you found your place, we'll stand and reverence the reading of the Word of God. I don't really know how this message fits or doesn't fit, just trying to just really just mind the Lord. And this is just kind of the message that I had on my heart. And the burden of my heart could not get away from it. And just want to give you what God's got on my heart tonight. So look with me in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And look with me in verse number 14. The Bible says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Will you pray with me and for me? Father, I thank you for your word and the portion you've led our heart to tonight. Lord, I thank you for the meeting and Lord, for every message that has been preached and Lord, for every preacher that has come through and that is here tonight. And Lord, I thank you for your people, Lord, taking the step of faith to come to the house of God. Lord, it's nasty weather and Lord, I just thank you for letting us be here, giving us a good place to worship out of the weather and the rain. Lord, it's just your blessings and your kindness and your mercy to us. Lord, you've been so good to us, and we could never repay you for all you've done for us. And Lord, we thank you for this Bible you've given us to read. Thank you for the Spirit of God, Lord, that guides us into all truth, into your word. And Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight, Lord, as I try to preach this little thought you've put on my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd give us power, and may your word go forth, Lord, in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. I pray that you encourage your people. Lord, instruct us, draw us close to you. Lord, reprove, rebuke us where we need it. And I pray for that sinner that might be here tonight that's lost without God. Lord, they're closer to hell than they've ever been. And I pray that you'd open their heart and their eyes, that they'd be saved before it's too late. But I just pray your will be done in our life, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was thinking about what to preach, as you always do whenever you come to a meeting and you pray about what to preach. And I've sat and heard so many great messages this week. And again, it's kind of hard to know maybe how this fits. But you think, well, man, I don't know if that's a Bible conference sermon. But we always know that it's Jesus that makes the sermon. Isn't that right? It's not our thoughts and it's not our fancy outlines. It's the Lord that makes a sermon. And so I was thinking about a sermon like this and thinking about the context of these verses here. And these are probably all verses that we all know. And they're certainly geared towards preachers and to preachers and maybe things that probably won't say anything tonight that we haven't already heard and don't maybe already know in our hearts. But I think a sermon like this, I think what God's got on my heart tonight, what I'm going to preach to you, a sermon like this is good because it's a good reminder to us all. God here is talking through the Apostle Paul, an older preacher to a younger preacher who is charging this younger man regarding his ministry and regarding his work and regarding especially his preaching. Amen. And I think if you would probably agree with this, if there's anything America is in desperate need of in this hour, it is in need of preachers. Amen. And when I say preachers, I mean real men of God. I'm not talking about a man that calls himself a preacher and ministry's all wrapped up in a flashy suit and his face on a flower, but I'm talking about real men of God that will take a Bible and preach the Word of God, whether it hair lips all hell, whether the president likes it or not, whether his friends like it or not, whether his family likes it or not. I tell you, our nation is in need of preachers. Amen? And I know we all know that. We've heard these verses and we've thought about this before, maybe even heard this preached, but it's good to have a reminder every now and then of the seriousness of the ministry of preaching. Amen? The call and the office and the ministry of men of God has been so cheapened today. Amen. I mean, it's been boiled down to a paycheck and a career mindset, and pastors are now CEOs, and churches are Fortune 500 companies, you know, and it's all about money and fame and prestige. And I tell you, we've mingled the world in with ministry, and I tell you, all of it has just cheapened the call. And any you know, as Brother Joe Bryant would say, any peckerwood can call himself a preacher now. Is that right? That's a Joe Bryantism for you right there. Amen. And so we've cheapened the call now, and I tell you, we all need a reminder every now and then of the seriousness of the ministry of preaching, don't we? Now, if you'll notice in the text, there is a man here. God is talking through a man and to a man. One is an older preacher, one is a younger preacher, but I would remind us all, and I think God would remind us all tonight, that God still calls men. Isn't that right? And I might just throw this in right here. He only calls men. Praise God. And so I don't care if it's you know, your favorite pantsuit-wearing women preacher, but God still only calls men. Isn't that right? And the fact that He does call men shows us the grace and the mercy of God, because there's none of us, humanly speaking, that can do the divine work of preaching, that can do the eternal work of God in the hearts and souls of men. But I tell you, it's a blessing that God would look down on unworthy men and the unworthy flesh that we are robed in, and put a touch and a call on a man's life and call him to a life of ministry, call him to a life of preaching the Word of God. There's nothing else like it. And I can't think of anything in the world that's more wonderful than preaching the Bible. But let us never forget that it is a work of grace and it's a work of mercy in our life. It is God. It is not us. It is not our personality. It is the Lord that does that work. Isn't that right? And so God calls men. We are nothing outside of the fact that God simply chose to put forth a call on any man's life that He calls to the ministry. And then there's not just a man, but again, there is a ministry here. You know what notice what he said? He said to preach. Verse 2, chapter 4, verse 2. Preach. What's the ministry? The ministry is to preach. Amen. Now, you think about the word ministry. That word ministry, to minister is simply to serve. Isn't that right? And I know I'm not getting real deep tonight, but it's just all there is. I mean, ministry is just serving, serving. And that's what the life of ministry is. It is a life to serve. And that's really what preaching is. Preaching is to serve. Amen. Listen, we're not big time. We're just servants. Amen. I know Brother Ernest thinks that only big time preachers come in late. But listen, small timers come in late. Amen. Brother Ernest says only the big preachers come in late. But there are no big preachers, isn't that right? We're all small time. We're all servants. We're all small. We all would be nothing without the Lord. We all would be nothing without the call. We all would be nothing without His Word. What even are we without the calling and the commands of Almighty God in our life? We are all small. We are all nothing. We're all just servants here. We serve the Most High God, and we serve the people of God that God's given us to pastor or to preach to, or we serve the generation that we are in. And how is it, men of God, that we serve the generation? How is it that we serve the people God's given us? How is it that we serve God? We do it through preaching. Through preaching. And then there's a message here. He said, preach the Word. You know, every time God wanted to do something in the Bible, He raised up a man and He gave him a message. And you know what God's going to do today? He's going to use the same thing He's always used. He's going to use a man with a message. And so I want to preach to you for a few minutes on this thought tonight. One simple word back in chapter 3 and verse number 14. Continue. But continue. You know, I think as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, we all know we're living in days of apostasy. The turning away from the truth, He even talks about it right here in this passage. They will turn away their ears from the truth and be turned into fables. And I think as we all would agree that you know, generally speaking, a church that stands for anything and a preacher that stands for anything, I mean, you're not going to have any trouble running out of room in the parking lot. Isn't that right? Now, they will. You know, if you preach heresy, you will. But if you preach the Word of God, you're not going to usually have the trouble of running out of room in the parking lot. I mean, we're not busting at the seams tonight. Amen? And I don't mean anything negative when I say that. It's just a fact. When you look around, the world isn't clawing and scratching to get in to a place where they're preaching the Bible and preaching truth. But in these last days, you know what we have to do? We have to continue. We have to just keep going. You know, if you've been preaching for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years or 50 years, preacher, you know what you got to do? You just got to keep going. And if you stood behind your preacher for that long, you know what you got to do? You got to just keep going. You got to just continue. It's a serious call. There's no more serious call in the world than for God to put the call in man's life to preach the gospel and to preach the Word of God. Let me look at a few things, just work our way through this text very quickly and just point out a few things and we'll be done. Talking about continue, maybe just want to encourage you and help you a little bit tonight. First of all, when you think about that call, continuing in that call, in verse number 1, we notice the solemnness or the seriousness of this call. He says, I charge thee therefore before God. Before God. And not just before God, but before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Now, I don't have time to get into it, but that word charge, that's very strong language that the man of God is using there. It's a strong word and verbiage that he's using when he talks to this man and says, I charge thee. And he goes on to say, before God and before the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead. Listen to me, this is not some casual counsel he's throwing out. Amen. This isn't some psychiatrist giving some advice. This is not just some casual advice. No, this is a sacred command. He says, I charge you. He's getting the attention of this young preacher that if you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. I charge you, son, before God Almighty and before the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the Word. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a solemn and a serious call. Listen, men of God, you preachers that are here, listen, let us never forget that we are called before God and we will answer to Christ, our minister, and we minister under the gaze of heaven. Amen. And it doesn't really matter what men think of us. It's so easy to get caught up in the approval of man. It's so easy to get caught up in what somebody else likes and somebody doesn't. But I tell you, whenever we get to the place where we serve for the audience of one, I'd say that's a good place to get in ministry, because one of these days, not long from now, that one will be the only one that matters. Amen. Hey, never lose the weight. Never cheapen the call. Never forget who is watching. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 29, it says, then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. And you know what they were saying that? You know why they were saying that? They were saying that over their preaching. Amen. They were preaching. They were trying to silence them. They did not like what they were preaching. But they said, you know what? We're going to obey God rather than men. Amen. And I tell you, you minister, if you're in this thing long enough, and I've not been in it long, near as long as some of you have, and all of you could probably teach me a thing or two, but I have found in my little time in the ministry that you're always going to preach to those, and some are going to like it, and some are not going to like it, but it really doesn't matter as long as God likes it. Amen. He is the one that matters. Hallelujah. And that's why it's so serious, isn't it? It is so serious. In Galatians 1, he said, if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You can't even be the servant of Christ if you're in this thing to please men. If we're in this thing to be the most popular guy in the room all the time, listen, we'll never get anything done for God. That's just the way it's going to be. Amen. Listen, somebody's got to be the bad guy every now and then. That's just the way it is. I mean, even Nick Saban said, if you want to be everybody's favorite person, sell ice cream. If you want to be everybody's favorite all the time, don't preach, sell ice cream, praise God, and sell it cheap, amen? Because listen, I tell you, it's a serious thing, and we've got to get past the approval of men and realize that God is the only one that matters, and one of these days we'll stand before Him, and we will give an account for what we did and what we preached. By the way, not just us preachers, but everyone we preach to will give an account at the judgment seat. And I tell our church all the time, that as a pastor, there is one thing I'm worried about. There is only one thing I'm concerned about, and that is you are ready come judgment day. Amen? Because I'm going to give an account to God, and you're going to give an account to God one of these days. Amen? Ministry is serious because eternity is serious. Isn't that right? Listen, this life is not all there is to it. There's something beyond this. And it's going to come quicker than you realize. And listen, that which is beyond this, it's forever. It's no end. Where you land, I mean, that's it. That's all there is to it. Amen? And listen, I know we're in a society that wants, you know, soft-skinned, limp-wristed, you know, soft-talking teachers and, you know, these little sissy boys that call themselves preachers. Amen? But I tell you, the bridge is out and this society's gear hell and I can't just stand by and say, oh, now, y'all, let's pray. I tell you, what we need is some leather lung, hellfire and brimstone preachers that will stand up like men of old and say, turn or burn, the bridge is out, you're headed for hell, amen. Eternity is long, amen. Serious. It's serious. I'm telling you, it's serious. Sammy Allen, serious thing, friend. Amen. Ministry is serious because eternity is serious. I can't understand how a man could ever just preach for a paycheck. Amen. There's too much at stake. There's too much weight in the balance. And don't ever preach without a burden. Listen, man, if we ever lose our burden, we need to get along with God, don't we? If we ever lose our burden, we need to get along with God and ask God to help us get our burden and do whatever we've got to do to get our burden back, because there's too much at stake in this thing. My family's at stake. My children's eternity at stake. Listen, your children, your family, their eternity. Listen, it is at stake. Amen. This is a serious thing. Praise God. I can remember down through the years when I first started out and I was a young preacher and I didn't know anything and I still don't know much. But I sure didn't know anything then, Brother Ernest. And I can remember every now and then there'd be, you know, somebody come along the way and kind of pat you on the head. You know, you preach, and you're always real fiery whenever you're young, you know. Pat you on the head, say, well, he'll learn better and he'll settle down eventually, you know. Well, I tell you, that's been about 20 years ago since I started out, and I ain't learned better or settled down yet. Amen?
Amen.
And I don't want to run with a crowd that's settled down either. I don't want to run with a crowd that's learned better and settled down. Because Ronnie Sutton never learned better or settled down. And Billy Mitchell never learned better or settled down. And Joe Bryant never learned better or settled down. And Johnny Hughes never learned better or settled down. And Mac Phillips never learned better or settled down. Jamie Brunson ain't learned better yet and settled down. Amen. Listen, I don't want to learn better and I don't want to settle down because this is a serious thing and there's no more serious thing in all the world, amen, than to preach the gospel because eternity is long and heaven is real and hell is real. It is a serious call, praise God. Solemn and serious charge. Let me hurry on. Number two, in verse two, there is the substance of the charge. What does he say? He says, of all the things he could tell this preacher, he says, preach the word. Preach the word. I mean, just think of everything he could have said. He could have talked about managing the finances. He could have talked about visiting the sick and kissing babies. And I mean, he could have talked about all the things. And no doubt there's many things that go into ministry. We understand that. But I tell you what was premier and what was first place in this older man's heart to this younger man through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, of all the things he could have said, he told him to preach the Word. Amen. And by the way, that's not opinions and that's not preferences and that's certainly not for popularity. Amen. But preach the Word. Back in chapter 3 and verse 16, we're told that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And so real power does not come through our personality. It does not come through our creativity. It does not come through our charisma. It doesn't come through our fancy outlines or our interesting thoughts. I tell you, it comes through taking an old-time King James Bible and preaching it as God gave it. Amen. Whether it hair lifts the dead or some long-tongued Jezebel out there just preaching the Word of God. Amen. That is what will get the job done, isn't it? Your weapon, sir, is the Word of God. And what God will bless and what God will use is the preaching of His Word. Listen, I'm not all against, you know, using maybe something that's going on in modern times. I mean, prophets of old did that. And Jesus did that. He used examples and illustrations of the things around Him. And I understand that. But I tell you, may God help us to never fall too much in line of quoting men rather than quoting this book or quoting CNN more than we quote this book. May we never let a cell phone become before this thing. Amen. Hey, may we never let anything come before this book in our lives. I tell you, if a man of God needs to be anything, he needs to be a man of the Word. Amen. A man of the Word. There's no room in the ministry for lazy preachers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I mean, we're living in a day with technology, and you know, where anybody can jump on ChatGPT and in 3 minutes you can have your sermon worked up.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
But I tell you, the call of the ministry is the call to be the man of the Word.
Right.
And we're in desperate need of it.
Yes,
amen. Of all the things he told him to do, he said to preach the word. Number three, the steadfastness of the charge. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Now that is, preach when it's welcome and preach when it's resisted. Amen. Preach when people like it and preach when people don't like it. Preach when it's going to land well and preach when it's not going to land so well, but just preach it. Amen. Preach when it's convenient and preach when it's going to cost you. Amen. And by the way, if you're going to be in this thing long enough, it will cost you somewhere down the road. cost, and it needs to cost you. Amen. Ministry is a life of servitude. It's a life of giving. And every now and then, if you're going to preach what God's put on your heart, it's going to cost you something. Amen. 1 Corinthians 4, he said, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful, not successful, and not sensational, and not dynamic, but faithful. Be faithful. Brother Allen used to say, you know, there's no big churches and little churches, just big congregations and little congregations. Amen. And I tell you, every man of God, I tell you, we got a handful of preachers here, and I love every one of you so much. All, you don't even know what you have meant to me in my life. You have no idea. But you know, every one of us is in the field God's put us in. You know what God's interested in? He's interested in every one of us working the field that we're in. He's interested in every one of us just being faithful and blooming where we're planted. Just continuing. Just continue. There is steadfastness in this thing. And I know this is primarily geared to preachers, but I tell you, it's going to require the same thing out of every lay person here too. I tell you, if you're going to do something for God, it's going to take some faithfulness in you. You're going to have to stay with it. You're going to have to stay after it. I tell you, the devil wants you to fall out. The devil wants you to get out. But listen, you're going to have to stay with it and stay, but you're going to have to dig in your heels and stay with it in these last days. Amen. It's gonna take some steadfastness. Some people's gonna like it. Some people's not gonna like it. If you're gonna be God's man, you have to make up your mind if you're gonna be Mr. Popular or not. In verse 3 and 4, we read it just a minute ago. He said the time will come and has come. Amen. Where men will turn their ears away from the truth, be turned into fables. They will not endure sound doctrine. And I mean, all of us sit around and talk about that, don't we? About how back in the day, you know, men preached this and men preached that. Somebody said, I think you said it today, you know, talking about how you never bowed up at the preacher, man. I didn't think I could do that. I didn't think I was allowed to do that. I didn't think I was allowed to get mad at the preacher for something he preached, because as far as I was concerned, it was coming from God, not the preacher. Amen. We are in the day of itching ears and wandering hearts and doctrinal drift. And just remember this, that cultural shifts and crowds come and go, but truth will not change forever. Oh Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Amen. And when the stars are falling to the earth and the moon's dripping blood, this book is going to stand. Amen. And we as God's men, preachers, are not called to be editors of the truth. We are called to echo the truth. We are not called to make it palatable. We are called to make it available. Amen. And don't ever forget, you are not called to fill a pew. You're called to fill a pulpit. Amen. And if we'll do what God wants us to do, and if we'll be faithful, we'll stand before Him and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and it'll be all worth it then, won't it? Continue. Number 5, there's sobriety in the charge. He says in verse 5, "But watch thou in all things." Brother, you must always be on guard. We must always be on guard. Ministry comes with two things, a microscope and a bullseye, and both are going to be on you all the time. Therefore, you must guard your character. We must guard our conduct and our convictions, guard our companions, guard our children. We must guard our life. In 1 Timothy 4, he said, "Take heed unto thyself." Amen. We must watch all the time. Amen. And we'll reap what we sow in ministry too, won't we? That's why it's always important to be loyal. Amen. When I came to this church, when I came here, you know, almost seven years ago, pastored here for about 5 years. I think for a lot of men, there's always a temptation to vilify the man before you. I don't know why that is. But you know, I was never tempted to do that, Brother Ronnie. I was never tempted to try to make an enemy or vilify Brother Ronnie Sutton, because I knew he's a man of God. Amen? Amen. And I believe God always blesses honoring the man. And every one of us is going to reap what we sow in ministry. I just believe this. If I was to make an enemy out of a man of God, somebody would make an enemy out of me. Hey, it's important to be loyal in ministry. It's important. It's important to stand with God's man. No, he may. And by the way, this ain't just for preachers. It's for all of us. It's important to stand with a man of God, even though he may not be what you always want him to be or think he ought to be, and even though he may not even be right in everything. I tell you, every one of us, Brother Seton, we're all rode in the same stuff tonight. And I tell you, it's just as wicked, and this stuff is capable of anything. And I tell you, I want to be right, but I'm not always right. Amen? And I'm ashamed to say it, but sometimes my flesh gets the best of me. I'm ashamed of that, but it's the fact. Amen? It's the way it is. But I tell you, God will always bless you if you'll stay with the man of God and let God handle the man. Amen? You remember when Moses smote that rock? Those people were dying of thirst. But God still gave him water, even though the man was wrong. Amen? What are you saying? I'm saying it's important to be loyal in ministry. You'll reap what you sow in ministry. Amen? All that said to say this, there's steadfastness in this thing. And there's sobriety in this thing. You know, if we don't watch ourselves and we fall as God's men, you know, the devil might ruin us, but he's going to ruin somebody else. And a ruined life ruins a ministry. If you fall, there will absolutely be others to fall with you. You have to watch your personal walk with God, watch your marriage, watch your home, watch your finances, watch your testimony. You have to watch it all. And I tell you, in ministry, it's always important to keep your priorities in check. I have this little list here written on the board in my office, in my study back home. And six priorities. Number one, praying is more important than preaching. Number two, preaching is more important than administration. Number three, family is more important than the congregation. Number four, faithfulness is more important than success. Number five, love is more important than ability. Number six, power is more important than programs. It's important to keep your priorities in check. Sobriety in this charge. And then last of all, very quickly, you notice the stewardship in this charge. In verse number five, look at what it says. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Ministry is not a sprint. And it's not a season. What it is a stewardship. All we have is the ministry that God has given to us. Isn't it so easy in the flesh at times to be discontent with the ministry God's gave us? And that's something to think about, because all of us preachers especially, we can think back to a time when we were so green and dumb. We thought we knew it all, but we didn't know anything. But we were so fresh and so new in this thing that, I mean, just having an opportunity to preach anywhere, I mean, was just like the biggest thing in life, right? The sad truth is we live a little bit. And all, you live and all you ever want is to preach. All you ever want is to pastor, you know, and then God gives you a ministry, and it can be easy for that ministry to not be what you want it to be. You know what we say whenever we're saying that, whenever we think that? What we're really doing is we're telling God in our heart, Lord, what you've given me is not enough. When at one time, I was just proud to be here. I was just glad not be in hell, you know. I was just glad to be saved. I was just glad to have Jesus in my heart. I was just glad to be called. I was just glad to get to rub shoulders with other preachers, you know. I was just glad to just be among the saints, you know. But then that's how wicked our flesh is. We live a little bit, look around, and boy, it's just not enough anymore. Stewardship. He said in 2 Timothy 2 to endure hardness. Oh, there's going to be some hard times, some hard things to endure. But listen to me, if you'll be faithful one day, you can say what Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. The goal is not applause. The goal is arrival. The goal is finishing faithful. Now you say, well, that message, this message is just for preachers. And it is. It is. It's just a reminder for all of us preachers. But it's a reminder for every one of us, isn't it? We all need to be reminded. One of the greatest gifts God ever gave you is a man of God, if you've got one. Are you listening to me? I don't care if you go here. It don't matter if you go here or Victory or Calvary or wherever you go. I'm telling you, the greatest, one of the greatest gifts you have ever been given in your life is a man of God, if you've got one. If God ever gets silent on you, leaves you without a man, you're in worse shape than you realize. I mean, read Ephesians 4. The gifts to the church. You know what they were? Men. Men of God. That it says He gave those men as gifts to the church. I tell you, it's good to be reminded. What you ought to do is love that man, get behind that man, pray for that man. Every single one of us needs to be reminded of the seriousness of call. I tell you, our nation's in desperate need tonight. And it's not in desperate need of a better economy and lower gas prices. I mean, I wouldn't argue with you if you lowered them. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I wouldn't argue with lower grocery prices. Yeah, I wouldn't argue with that. But I tell you what we're in desperate need of. We're in desperate need of preachers. We're in desperate need of men of God. And we're in desperate need of a society that will receive truth from men of God. Amen? Continue. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for all You've done for us, helping us preach it. I pray that You'll take it and use these simple thoughts and encourage us and help us along the way, encourage these men. Thank You so much for them. Thank You for every man of God You've ever put in my life. And I pray that You'd help them all to continue. Help us all, Lord, to finish well. Well, thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.